My master's family consisted of two sons, Andrew and Richard, one daughter, Lucretia, and her husband, Captain Thomas Auld. They lived in one house upon the home plantation of Colonel Edward Lloyd. My master was Colonel Lloyd's clerk and superintendent. He was what might be called the overseer of overseers. I spent 2 years of childhood on this plantation in my old master's family. It was here that I witnessed the bloody transaction recorded in the first chapter, and as I received my first impressions of slavery on this plantation, I will give some description of it, and of the slavery as it there existed. The plantation is about 12 miles north of Easton, in Talbot County, and is situated on the border of Miles River. The principal products raised upon it were tobacco, corn, and wheat. These were raised in great abundance, so that with the products of these and other farms belonging to him, he was able to keep in almost constant employment a large sloop in carrying them to market at Baltimore. This sloop was named Sally Lloyd, in honor of one of the colonel's daughters. My master's son-in-law, Captain Auld, was master of the vessel. She was otherwise manned by the colonel's own slaves. Their names were Peter, Isaac, Rich, and Jake. These were esteemed very highly by the other slaves, and looked upon as the privileged ones of the plantation, for it was no small affair, in the eyes of the slaves, to be allowed to see Baltimore. Colonel Lloyd kept from 300 to 400 slaves on his home plantation, and owned a large number more on the neighboring farms belonging to him. The names of the farms nearest to the home plantation were Wytown and New Design. Wytown was under the overseership of a man named Noah Willis. New Design was under the overseership of a Mr. Townsend. The overseers of these, and all the rest of the farms, numbering over 20, received advice and direction from the managers of the home plantation. This was the great business place. It was the seat of government for the whole 20 farms. All disputes among the overseers were settled here. If a slave was convicted of any high misdemeanor, became unmanageable, or evinced a determination to run away, he was brought immediately here, severely whipped, put on board the sloop, carried to Baltimore, and sold to Austin Woolfolk, or some other slave trader, as a warning to the slaves remaining. Here, too, the slaves of all the other farms received their monthly allowance of food and their yearly clothing. The men and women slaves received, as their monthly allowance of food, 8 pounds of pork, or its equivalent in fish, and 1 bushel of cornmeal. Their yearly clothing consisted of 2 coarse linen shirts, 1 pair of linen trousers, like the shirts, 1 jacket, 1 pair of trousers for winter, made of coarse New York cloth, 1 pair of stockings, and 1 pair of shoes, the whole of which could not have cost more than $7. The allowance of the slave children was given to their mothers, or the old women having the care of them. The children unable to work in the field had neither shoes, stockings, jackets, nor trousers given to them. Their clothing consisted of 2 coarse linen shirts per year. When these failed them, they went naked until the next allowance day. Children from 7 to 10 years old, of both sexes, almost naked, might be seen at all seasons of the year. There were no beds given the slaves, unless 1 coarse blanket be considered such, and none but the men and women had these. This, however, is not considered a very great privation. They find less difficulty from the want of beds than from the want of time to sleep, for when their day's work in the field is done, the most of them having their washing, mending, and cooking to do, and having few or none of the ordinary facilities for doing either of these, very many of their sleeping hours are consumed in preparing for the field the coming day. And when this is done, old and young, male and female, married and single, drop down side by side on 1 common bed, the cold, damp floor, each covering himself or herself with their miserable blankets, and here they sleep till they are summoned to the field by the driver's horn. At the sound of this, all must rise and be off to the field. There must be no halting, everyone must be at his or her post, and woe betide them who hear not this morning summons to the field, for if they are not awakened by the sense of hearing, they are by the sense of feeling. No age nor sex finds any favor. Mr. Severe, the overseer, used to stand by the door of the quarter, armed with a large hickory stick and heavy cowskin, ready to whip any one who was so unfortunate as not to hear, or from any other cause, was prevented from being ready to start for the field at the sound of the horn. Mr. Severe was rightly named. He was a cruel man. I have seen him whip a woman, causing the blood to run 1/2 hour at the time, and this, too, in the midst of her crying children.